Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, we were not with you last Sunday, but I trust that you had a wonderful time as the pastors filled in and ministered to you in the grace of the Lord. The last time I shared with you, when we started the launch of the fast, which was on the 11th, I shared with you about the relationship between fasting and faith. Today, I want to continue that subject, but this time talking about the consequences or the results that we can expect when we are praying and fasting. What are the things that we can expect when we fast? And this will help us focus our attention on how to pray during this very special time of intercession. We begin in the year sowing ourselves to the Lord and saying, God, I'm making myself available to you and your will, your purposes. Now, when we started out from Matthew, the 17th chapter, and also from Mark 9, where the subject being discussed or the message being communicated was about a young boy that was demonized. And the parents had brought this young boy to the Lord, to the disciples, to address the situation because the Lord was not there. The Lord had left with three other of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They'd gone to the Mount of Transfiguration. And now they had come back, and here is this man talking to the Lord about his situation and how it was that his disciples were not able to cast out this demon. And the Lord responding addresses the real issue that was creating this particular situation. And he said that this kind, meaning that particular demonic experience, but primarily more so, that the real issue was the issue of faith or believing, that kind, meaning the issue of faith, could not be addressed without fasting. And so we established the fact that fasting was necessary for us to receive the miracle that of faith. Now, we do know that faith comes by hearing. For the word of God tells us that in Romans 10:17, says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we addressed that particular issue and said, well, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and if faith was necessary, then faith, or rather the ability to hear, was going to come because we are fasting. Amen? Fasting addresses all the issues that block you from hearing from God. And we definitely need to hear from God. And hearing is not just hearing from your ears, nor is it hearing because of what you see, but hearing is a heart issue. You hear in your heart. Amen? So we addressed that, and we talked about the sacrifice that was necessary for faith, for God gives to us a measure of faith. In Romans 12, actually, let's look at that real quickly. Romans 12, verse 1 through 4, we read from the Word of God, where it says to us, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In essence, I'm pleading with you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, that part of a living sacrifice is that part of you is also addressed in our fasting. The time of our fasting, we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, separated unto God, accepted acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or in some translations, it may go something like this, the least that you can do. So fasting is addressed as part of the least that we need to do if we are coming to God to hear God and to experience the powerful presence of faith in our lives. Verse 2 says, it says, and be not conformed to this world. To be conformed to this world means that you're operating in the flesh and by the flesh. You are gathering information by the flesh, through the flesh, based on whatever it is that you can gather in the natural. God says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be poured into the mold of this world in terms of your hearing, in terms of your living, in terms of how you carry yourself on a daily basis. He says, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed, metamorphosed, be ye transformed. Go through the metamorphosis of being renewed in your mind. Now, metamorphosis, when we think about it, you know, when we went to school, we talked about the metamorphosis of the egg through the larva, through the pupa, and then to the butterfly. Progressive change. Are you with me so far? Be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, progressively change by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove that which is that good. That's one stage of your renewal. Acceptable, that's another stage of your renewal. And perfect is another stage of your renewal. Are you with me so far? So God says there's going to be progressive change. There's going to be progressive change in your life as you are fasting. It says, this is what you need to do. And then verse 3 says, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself. This is one of the things, and we're going to address that in just a moment, that fasting does. It brings you to a place where you humble yourself so that you are not humiliated. There's a difference between being humble and being humiliated. It's a difference between being humble and being humbled. When you're humble, you are coming into agreement with the Word of God. When you are humbled or humiliated, you are being dragged down. You are being placed in a place that you need not be. So God's word says to us, it says, we must not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So there's a highly place that you ought to think. Let me say that again. For I say through the grace of grace given unto me, to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So there's a highly place that you ought to think, and there's a highly place you ought not to think. What is the highly place you ought to think? The highly place you ought to think is to come into agreement with the Word of God. The highly place that you ought not to think, this may surprise you, is to humble yourself in the way the world thinks by thinking less of yourself, that you are a nobody when God says you are somebody. When you say you are nobody, when God says you're somebody, you are acting in pride and in arrogance because you think you know something that God is not aware of. So when you come into agreement with God, you are saying, God, whatever you say I am, that is what I am. I agree with you. When God says you are perfect, I say I am perfect. To say that I'm imperfect when God says I am perfect is to think highly of myself. That may take a while for you to settle that issue. So humility is coming to agreement with whatever God says. Pride is to argue against what God said. And then he says, but to think soberly, do that soberly. Not in arrogance, but do that soberly because you understand that whatever it is that you are because of the grace of God. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure, the measure, not a measure, the measure. Some would say with me, not a measure, the measure. Not a measure, the measure. Now, that means that God doesn't give you a measure of faith. He gives you the necessary measure of faith. The faith that you need to accomplish whatever it is that you need to accomplish. Are you with me so far? Somebody say, I have the measure of faith. One more time. I have the measure of faith. Praise the Lord. So whatever faith you need, you have. Now, we said faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So God then is saying, whatever it is that you need, I'm already broadcasting to you. Whatever faith you need, I'm already broadcasting to you. But you need your ears cleaned, your eardrums functional, and everything in balance, the ossicles in your hear, in your ears, you know, to balance you out in every aspect so that you can hear what God is saying. And when you hear what God is saying, you have that faith to do the impossible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in the passage in Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 9, rather. Mark chapter 9, I'm going to start that because I want to go further. The disciples are talking to the Lord. This man is talking to the Lord. He's talking about this child that is being tormented. And the Lord says, if, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen? In Matthew 17, in the Matthew 17 passage, the disciples in verse 18 say, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast this demon out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting, the act of unbelief is eradicated. Now, we know the importance of faith, that without faith, we cannot live in the world of the possible, and that the presence of unbelief keeps us in the world of impossibilities. But you and I want to move away from impossibilities to possibilities. Now, that was the primary purpose of Jesus teaching them about this. Now, I want to explore a little bit further some of the subsequent benefits of fasting. In Matthew 17 and verse 22, beginning to explore some of the things that Jesus begins to address following this particular situation, he says to them, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Now, when we think about that, We think he just is just making a statement. But really, he's going to start addressing some particular issues, because from here on, we are going to see Jesus, our Lord, jumping from one issue to another that seemed to be totally unconnected. But really what he's trying to address is this. When he said, they shall kill him and the third day shall be raised again, he's talking about himself, but he's going in a little bit deeper and saying, listen, I want you to know that when you are fasting, when you fast, impossible situations, like when you die, that's an impossible situation for you to come back alive. Are you with me so far? Okay, he's saying, when you fast and you are praying, I want you to know, just like it's going to happen with me, I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised up again on the third day. I want you to know that there's resurrection life when you are one who prays and fasts. Resurrection life is possible. There'll be restoration for you. You can come out of an impossible situation, bottom out of it, and come alive and break forth into another destiny. There's new life when you fast. Amen? Are you with me so far? All right. So he starts out, and then he goes, and he says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Now you start wondering. He just started talking about dying and rising up from the dead. Why is he jumping up to why are we talking about taxes now? No, the issue here is different. God is saying, listen, when you fast and you don't have any money in your pocket, just like I sent Peter to go catch fish and open the mouth of the fish and take gold out of the mouth of the fish, I want you to know that there will be supernatural provision for you. Is somebody listening? That's what he's trying to address here. He says, notwithstanding, verse 27, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that take, and give unto them for me and thee. We are going to be debt free. We are not going to owe anybody. Hallelujah. Debt freedom comes about when you are fasting. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now let's go to Mark, and we finish with the discourse in there, but let's go to Mark, in Mark chapter 9, and let us see what he talks about following this fasting situation. First of all, he addresses the resurrection situation in verse 31. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Resurrection life is possible. Restoration is possible. Elevation is possible. It says, but they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And then he goes on, and he says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what is it that ye disputed among yourselves, by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child, set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. What is he addressing? He's addressing this situation of humility. He's saying, when you fast, you break the spirit of pride. You choose then to become a servant, to serve others, rather than you becoming the head honcho and number one, I'm number one and everybody else is beneath me. He says, no, Fasting brings you to a place where you are willing to serve others. You humble yourself because God elevates the humble. Amen? Hallelujah. And now it seems like this thing is changing. No, but it's not. Verse 38, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. What connection is that with the first one? None. But the fact is, all of this is happening to show us certain things that fasting will accomplish in our lives. So this guy is talking about somebody else casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. And whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Point. What is he addressing? He's addressing the attitude of competition. He's saying when you fast, you do not any longer start thinking he's not part of our denomination. Why are they doing that? No, he says when you fast, you begin to see the brotherhood. You begin to see everybody. Oh, he's using the name of Jesus. Because they are not part of this group does not mean they are not part of his kingdom. Amen? So we stop segregating ourselves and thinking this person is Catholic, that person is Methodist, this one is Baptist, and we are Word of Faith. He says, none of that. If they are doing the works of Christ, they are not against you. Let them be. Stop competing and striving with each other. And secondly, he says, when you serve, you get a reward. Wait a minute. He says, for he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And how on earth is that connected to the first part? Because he's trying to make a point. The Word of God says, God puts out secrets. But it is the duty and the responsibility of kings to find them. And God is putting right here, while he started dealing with the issue of fasting, he's beginning to put nuggets of things that you're going to get when you fast. And he just talked about not competing, leave the guy alone. And then he goes and says, if someone gives you a cup of water, what connection is that with the first part? No, the fact is, he's trying to say, there is a reward. There are rewards available when you fast and you pray. When you fast, and we're going to find out the real purpose of fasting is not about you. It's about how you can be a blessing to other people. That's the real purpose of fasting. So when you give a cup of water, you bring refreshment into the life of another. He says, I want you to know that you are going to get rewarded. Somebody say, I'll be rewarded with the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, he goes on and begins to deal with another aspect. He says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, what on earth? What little ones? Well, he talked about the children. But when we're looking at this place, there's no children here. Well, because it's still in the same setting. What Matthew was talking about and what Mark is talking about, these are all things that are happening all at the same time. So he'd already put a child there. And now he's talking about the little children and saying, don't offend. But in the context of this, Mark puts it here, and it is referencing the statement that he just made. Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Stop quenching other people. Stopping other people from becoming what God wants them to be. He says, if you do that, it's better that you were not born. And what is it that many times people do? They try to quench other people, stifle them so that they don't grow, stifle them so that they do not progress. That will never happen in this ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'll leave that alone. It goes on, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted. Let me stop there. Why does he start talking about cutting hands and feet and plucking eyes out? What is the point? The point is this, that fasting helps you to address flesh issues. The way for you to cut the hand off and cut the feet off and pluck the eye out is by fasting. If your eyes strain, by fasting, God gets you back online. Fasting gets you to subdue the activities of the flesh. Are you with me so far? That's the point he's trying to make. That's what he's trying to address. And then he goes on in 49 and 50 of Mark 9. He says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, he says, and have peace one with another. What is he talking about now? Salt is about relevance. Salt is a seasoning that causes things to taste good. Are you with me? So your food is not bland, you give it salt. Salt, as he referenced here, is connected to walking in peace. And have peace one with another. Fasting brings you to a place where you begin to act peaceably one with the other. If you are finding yourself always in a state of strife, you need to fast. Amen? You need to fast. Pray and fast. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. Acts 10 and verse 30. He says here about Cornelius. He says, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. 4 days ago I was what? Fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Wow. The passage starts out in verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up to God as a memorial. And now, in that verse 30 and 31, he says, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Whoa. What is going on? In this particular passage, we see that fasting brought the release of an angel, which gave him direction. Gave him specific direction on what he ought to do next. He had been doing a lot of stuff, but now he starts fasting. And when he's fasting, Peter comes to him, and watch this. Peter did not want to come there and release any blessing to him. But what did fasting do? This man fasting and praying. What happens here? God bypasses the natural mind, and the will of Peter supersedes him and does for Cornelius what God intended to do. When you fast, nothing stops the blessing from connecting with you. Because while he was busy still talking, the Holy Ghost came upon Cornelius. But what was Cornelius doing? He was not just giving alms and praying. He added fasting. He said, I started fasting from that time that I heard the word of God until now. Did we not read it together? 4 days ago, I was fasting until what? This hour. Until now. When I got the direction and guidance to send message to you, I started fasting. And while Peter was telling his long story, God says, forget that. This man is going to be blessed today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. He says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God gave direction because of fasting. In Matthew chapter 6, we talked about the reward a moment ago. In Matthew chapter 6, and verse 17 and 18. Let's go quickly and then we will pray and we'll continue next Friday. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. God says, I reward openly. I see in secret. Now, we announcing it because we are doing this as a body, fasting together. So it is an announced fast. But you don't go about talking to people outside of this unit, oh, I'm fasting, or looking haggard and whatever. God says, brush your teeth, comb your hair, wear nice clothes, don't look like you're fasting. This is an I, God, I see in secret, and I will reward you. Amen? I will reward you openly. Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. It's talking about a woman. It says, and she was a widow, her name is Anna, a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with what? Fastings and prayers, night and day. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Who is this woman, Anna, and why is she here? She's here because she is busy praying and fasting, and God here gives her a VIP access. She has the privilege of meeting the Lord. There were many other people, but this one served God with prayers and fastings. That's how she served God. She fasted. And God directs her to meet with Jesus when Jesus comes into the temple. So what the point is, fasting will cause you to have a VIP access. And that reminds me of this in Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Esther 4, 15 and 16. It says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now, this is the story of Esther. Esther, we know, found favor with Hege, found favor with the king Ahasuerus, is made queen. She is beautiful. We know that. But when it came to the time to have access to the king, her beauty could not do it. The favor she has could not do it. She knew that the only way that she was going to have access was to have this extra part, fasting. Are you with me? She could have just walked there and said, well, I'm the queen, the king loves me, I can just go in. No, she said, humility. I know that, yes, I can only show my face before the king when the king calls for me. And this time, I am going to do something that is not normal. I'm going to show my face to a king who can say, how dare you get her head off? He says, if I'm going to do something that is not normal to do, I better fast and have people fast with me. Are you with me? What favor and beauty could not accomplish? Fasting. Accomplished. Because she stood and the king saw her and called her in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we know about fasting as it relates to repentance. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. The book of Joel. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore also now said the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. God says, turn back. He says, and rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached at the people of Nineveh about the judgment that was going to come. And the king said, fasting time. That was a sign of their repentance. He even caused the animals to fast. Your dog, your cat, your cows, everything is going on a fast. Hallelujah. And what did God do? God says, hey, I'm not going to destroy these people. They fasted because it was a sign of repentance. And in Joel, God is saying, that's what I want. When you're fasting, let it be a time of repentance before me, so I can honor you and bless you and reward you openly. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let me end with Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to take it from verse 3. In Isaiah 58 and verse 3, he said, wherefore have we fasted, the people said. We fasted, say they, and thou seest not. So these are people that are fasting. He says, but God, you're not seeing anything. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exert all your labors. He says, in the day of your fasting, you're all about yourself. He says, behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Says, the way you're fasting right now, that's not how I'm going to hear you. So he tells him, is it such a fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this what you're going to call a fast? Is you busy doing all this crazy stuff? He says, I tell you what. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. So God says, when you fast, focus your attention on loosening the bands of wickedness. In other words, people that are in bondage, pray for them. Do something to release them from their bondage, to undo heavy burdens. You see somebody carrying a burden? Lift that burden off of them, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. In other words, during this time of fasting, as you want the power of God, and we talked about that, you know, God gives to those that labor, who see the harvest field, he gives them an anointing. He says, and the word of God says, that anointing is there to destroy the yoke of the enemy. And part of that yoke of the enemy is a yoke of poverty. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to who? The poor. Right? To break that stronghold of poverty. And then it goes on and says, is it not to deal thy bread, give your bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And it goes on. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from thy midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger or accusation, and speaking vanity. What is God saying to us? He's saying, listen, you want to fast? Fast by giving. It's not just about going hungry. It's about seeding into the life of other people. Giving something to somebody. Sowing into another person's life. Giving something to somebody that's impoverished. Giving wisdom. Giving understanding. Bringing somebody closer that is cast out. God says, that's what you do when you fast. Because fasting, as far as God is concerned, is the denial of from yourself of something that you want to make it possible for somebody else to have. Amen? So the time of fasting is a time of giving. And let me give you an example of what we can do. So let's say your lunch was $10. Why don't you give that $10 to somebody else and sow into them? When we started the fast, there were two people here. I don't know if they came back on last Sunday because I wasn't here. Anyway, they had a need. I could not meet their need directly. And so I said, Lord, how do I address this? They needed somebody to take them from point A to point B. And it was very cold. I don't know these people. I'm not about to bring some stranger into my car because I've heard weird stories in the past. So what's the smart thing to do? Get them a bus ticket. So I went and I bought bus tickets and I gave it to them and said, here, now you can catch a bus. Because they're going to walk from here all the way past Portage Avenue, all the way heading towards St. Vital. By the time you walk that distance, you'll be frozen, man. But you can ride the bus. But I'm not going to give you cash because I don't know whether you're going to go use it by some drug. But a bus ticket I can give to you. So I bought a pack of tickets and gave. That is part of sowing into somebody. There's somebody that God will bring your way that you need to sow into. I was preaching part of this message last Sunday in Toronto, and there comes somebody. This never happened since we've been there in the Toronto church. Somebody came, you know, and the area where we are is a very plush area of the city. There comes somebody off the street, came inside the church. And what did we do? We gave into his life and fed him. That is part of what happens when you fast. God gives you opportunities. I want you to watch for those opportunities the rest of this time and for the rest of your life as you walk the walk of one who is fasting. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Rise with me. Our focus during this, the rest of the week, as we've talked about God, to God about hearing. Now, some of the things that I've talked to us about today is going to be our focus. God, give me resurrection life, restoration, financial breakthroughs. Give me access. Amen? Those are all important things. As you pray the rest of the week, God, give me access, supernatural access. Whatever it is that fasting will accomplish in me, do it for me, and God will help us. Amen? So lift up your voice right now and begin to talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Address Him right now about what you need help with. Talk to Him about somebody else that you know may be going through something, and ask Him for the grace to know what to do in assisting that one in whatever it is they're going through. God is a good God. He's a faithful God, and He's going to do something for you and with you. He's a God who loves. Marabashikerebo sakatabakai. Lord God Almighty, faithful you are. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Yerebosaika. Mandarabashikata babashike. Hallelujah. Pray these words with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you this day. I present myself to you, and I ask, oh God, that you help me. The man with a demonized child said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Father, whatever area in my life that unbelief is operating, I ask, oh God, that you will make up for it for me. The Lord, oh God, that your faith will operate in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, that my hearing be sharp. I receive the hearing ear that causes me to experience the work of faith. I want to live in the realm where impossibilities are no longer existing. For all things are made possible in my life. I receive the anointing of possibilities. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the power of restoration is released into my life right now. That, Lord, oh God, that the benefit of supernatural provision, supernatural finances be released in my life right now. I receive, Most High God, the spirit of humility. I receive the anointing not to compete with others, but to embrace others who are in the fold. Father, in the name of Jesus, I denounce the spirit of offenses. Father, in Jesus' name, during these 21 days of fasting, let the spirit of offense be shattered off of my life. I bring subject now, in the name of Jesus, the flesh. I declare right now, Father, that during this time of fasting, Lord, oh God, every limitation that the flesh has had in my life be removed in Jesus' mighty name. I declare, oh God, that my life be salted with the peace of God, with the favor of God, with the goodness of God. I declare that even as Cornelius received direction, that during this time of fasting, I will receive further direction, oh God, for the things of the kingdom. I declare that I receive now the reward that comes to people that fast. Thank you, Lord, for access, for VIP access, oh God, in my life. I receive now supernatural access into your presence by the blood and by the sacrifice of fasting. Lord, oh God, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I worship you through fastings. I worship you. Thank you, Father, that through fasting, the act of repentance is activated. I repent before you according to thy word in the name of Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness. And thank you, Lord, for the retention of everything that is good and the abolition of everything that is wrong. We magnify you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let us honor God with our giving tonight. We bless the few that were watching online. And on Friday, our focus is going to be more on prayer than on teaching. And we want you to join with us for the gathering this next Friday. And may the goodness of God be revealed to you in every aspect of your lives. Good night. God bless you. We love you.